Hello, I'm Jeff Horwich, and this is The Week from In the Loop. John McCain picks a hot young governor with great hair. I had that line already for Minnesota's own Tim Pawlenty, but it also works for Alaska's Sarah Palin. Small town mayor, two-year governor, potentially next in line as leader of the free world. At the very least, something to pull your eyes away from Joe Biden's hair plugs and distract you from the fact that today is John McCain's 72nd birthday. They get so big so fast. Last night, of course, Barack Obama's historic speech accepting the Democratic nomination. I thought it was okay. Since I only pay $8 a month for cable, the only news network I get is MSNBC, where Keith Olbermann and Chris Matthews need to stop embarrassing themselves.
Vote for him or do not, but take pride that this nation can produce men and speakers such as that. Spellbinding throughout in a way usually reserved for the creations of fiction. I'd love to find something to criticize about it. You got anything?
No. You know, I've been criticized for saying he inspires me, and the hell with my critics.
Stop it. Gustav is bearing down, but we are all in the eye of another storm. Two political conventions back to back. We're not going to barrage you with politics today, just this first segment coming up. I spent most of the week in Denver, as a matter of fact. My first night there, my producers and I wandered into riot police and a cloud of pepper spray downtown. They detained about 100 people, nothing huge. But next week here in St. Paul could be a little different. Since the Republican National Convention was announced, groups that are frustrated with the Republicans or politics in general, you name it, have been promising much more than just a march down the street. More than a year ago, we invited in two people to a live In the Loop show to talk about that. Conservative blogger and radio host Mitch Berg and Erica Zarowski, who's an organizer with a group called the Anti-War Committee that had become kind of an umbrella for many of those with designs on disrupting the convention. They are both back with me now in the studio. But first, let's recall the original meeting of Mitch and Erica on In the Loop.
First day of the Republican National Convention. The Republicans arrived to town, but maybe there's a problem arriving to town. Iraqis every single day have to go through roadblocks. What happens if the Republicans had to go through a roadblock or a checkpoint and show their identification? I hope everyone brings their birth certificate.
Well, you're not going to shut it down, right?
Our every intention, Jeff, is to shut down the Republican National Convention.
We're listening to your message boards, young lady. We're on top of this stuff. Quite frankly, I think it'll be a propaganda bonanza for us. I mean, if we see people actively stifling Republicans' First Amendment rights, our rights to carry on our political process, I think it would be a huge mistake for y'all to be doing that.
Are you scared, Mitch?
Scared. I welcome the free exchange of ideas. I revel in it.
Now on the cusp of the big event, Mitch and Erica are back with me in the studio for round two, and you guys have become fast friends in the meantime, of course, right?
I baked her a plate of brownies, and I think she loved them.
I did, and we baked them together. So.
All right, well, you're good sports to join us again. Erica, are you still predicting at this point some kind of fiery chaos in the streets?
There's definitely going to be protests going on. The first day of the Republican National Convention, there's going to be a legal and permitted demonstration that's going to be very family-friendly. After that march ends, I can promise you that there are people that are very, very upset and that are way more angry than just wanting to march in a permitted demonstration, and they're going to be taking their actions to the streets as well.
I was very excited about the roadblocks. Are we still going to get roadblocks, I hope?
Well, you know, that's some of the ideas that people were talking about, and I actually hope to see them too.
Well, certainly would make it interesting. Mitch, I was looking through your blog the other day, Shot in the Dark, and you've been organizing on a couple of fronts. One thing you're talking about is kind of a protest watch. What do you have in mind?
Well, one of the things we do is basically organizing people to get out on the street and watch for some of these activities that are out there. I went to a news conference a couple weeks ago where the Anti-War Committee would not rule out shenanigans in the streets of St. Paul. And I just have a hunch we plan to be there when they commit their shenanigans with cameras, video, and other stuff ready to roll.
Well, so what shenanigans are you specifically thinking of? What are you watching for, and what are you going
to
do about it?
We've been watching these plans to set up roadblocks for the past year. We've been watching what's going on in Denver with the various some of the less civil protesters, the ones with the less respect for others' First Amendment rights. And you know, we're going to try and stay one step ahead of them, be where they are with the cameras a-rolling.
I actually wanted to respond for the respect for the First Amendment rights because, first of all, free speech is a bullcrap notion in the first place, to be quite honest with you. We don't have the equal free speech. You know, the people that are going to be represented at this convention and the people that are going to be there have every single ability to get the attention of the media that they want anytime that they want. And we don't have that kind of ability. We need to spend a year and a half organizing for, you know, 30 to 50,000 people to come out to the streets to get 10-second spot in the media.
Mitch, I can see you want to respond to this point that, you know, because the balance of speech is, you know, weighted against the protesters to begin with, perhaps they need to do a little something extra to get that attention.
Not in this town it isn't. I mean, this is a town where the political class is fundamentally friendly to the left, and that's fine. They were elected. That's their right to be that way. The respect for the First Amendment angle that I wanted to call you on, Erica, was your declaration that you wanted to shut down the convention, which is, by definition, shutting down the First Amendment rights of the thousands of delegates and, by extension, half of America's body politic. That's disrespectful of my First Amendment rights, quite frankly.
Well, do you still want to do that? And
yes,
how does that square with your ideals?
I would love to see the Republican National Convention completely shut down.
That's the part that I'm having trouble with here. Now, if I were to go into your meeting, say, armed with Cheese Whiz cans and start spraying away, would you take umbrage at my preemption of your right to free speech? I'm imagining you probably would.
Erica, I want to ask you a question, kind of a personal question, I guess. But since we last had you on the show, we heard that sort of like fiery person on the radio. You've graduated from college now. And like me, a few months ago, you had a baby. Has this mellowed you out at all?
No, actually, I think it's made me even more determined. I mean, everything becomes more of a reality. The economic crisis becomes more of a reality for here at home. And also, and this is going to make me cry, but to be a mother and think of all of the mothers that lose their children in Iraq. I'm sorry.
Well, just practically, can you afford to get arrested now?
No, I can't. But you know what? If it happens, then I know that I have the community that can support me.
Do both of you worry that what happens next week is only going to make our political situation overall worse, is only going to drive the parties further apart?
Well, to be quite honest, driving the parties further apart isn't my biggest concern. The parties were never that far apart to begin with. You know, I'm hoping the political climate in this country does get tenser. I'm hoping that people realize that they can speak out for what they believe in. I'm hoping that people realize that they don't have to wait for a convention, that every single day they can take to the streets and they can demand more of their government. Yeah, I'm hoping that political tension rises between the Republicans and the Democrats as one group and the people as another group.
Mitch?
Historically speaking, things aren't as tense as they have been at many times in U.S. history. I mean, the 1828 campaign involved gunfire. Some of the campaigns in the 20s and the 30s were famously tense and famously ugly. And of course, the 1890s were a very incredibly tense time in American politics. This is as nasty as it's gotten in any of our lifetimes, but our lifetimes are fairly brief sweep in the history of this nation. I'm not so worried about it, no.
Mitch and Erica, I appreciate your passion, both of you, very different types of passion, but thanks very much for coming in and getting a little worked up with us again here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mitch Berg is a blogger. He writes for Shot in the Dark and True North, and he co-hosts the show Northern Alliance Radio Network here in the Twin Cities. And Erica Zarowski is with the Anti-War Committee, also a union organizer with AFSCME, specifically the clerical workers at the University of Minnesota. Wish you both a very interesting week. This is The Week from In the Loop. I'm Jeff Horwich. Al Gore had a nice outing on the final night of the Democratic convention, but this week I think he has to pass the baton as environmental spokesman to Hannah Montana, whose new single makes perhaps the most convincing statement to date on global warming. Oh, the earth is calling out. I don't know what all this means, but you know that you want to. I don't think Al Gore could have put it any better. Get to the tweens through their iPods, and we can save the world. It's all about speaking the language of your audience. For example, another celebrity environmental gesture this week, rapper Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Oompa Loompa Piggly Wiggly Combs is grounding his private jet to save fuel. He announced the sacrifice through a video on his website using some colorful language.
Hey, yo, what's up, y'all? It's your boy. Gas prices are too high, but I've been having to fly back and forth to L.A. pursuing my acting career. That's like 200,000, 250,000 round trip. That.
Again, I don't think Al Gore can make the argument any better than that. You're listening to The Week from In the Loop. I am Jeff Horwich. A couple of weeks ago on the show, we talked about this huge immigration raid in Postville, Iowa, the biggest raid ever at a single facility. That record didn't stand for long. On Monday, almost 600 people were detained in Laurel, Mississippi at a plant that makes electrical transformers. With these two massive raids in recent months, it stands to reason many companies and towns might wonder who's next. It occurred to the people in Perry, Iowa, a town of about 8,000, 40 miles from Des Moines. More interestingly, they're actually doing something about it, putting in place an emergency preparedness plan so they're ready when and if the raid happens. Edward Diaz lives in Perry, and he has led the push to get the town prepared. He moved there as a teenager, now teaches high school in nearby Des Moines. Mr. Diaz, thanks very much for joining us.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
First of all, most of us don't know much about Perry. Why would your little town be at risk for an immigration raid?
Well, as with a lot of communities around the country, Perry has experienced an influx of immigrants over the past decade. Currently about 30% Latino, a significant portion of the Latino population being immigrants. So we have the demographics that are being targeted right now.
Is there an industry in town that most people believe may have a good portion of undocumented workers?
I would say the industry that would have the most risk is the agricultural industry. We have several corn plants that are in nearby communities. We also have a meatpacking plant.
What are the elements of the emergency plan that you're putting in place?
Well, there's two major elements to it. The school crisis plan is trying to make sure that in the event of a raid, all the children in the school districts are accounted for and have a safe place to be if their parents are detained. Sometimes not only do children get left behind, but sometimes moms get left behind. So part two is a overall community plan where we would try and get the community to rally to get some financial support for the families that are left with no breadwinner. And then we would also try to bring in a group of lawyers and legal representatives that would assist some of these immigrants that have some legal remedies to their cases.
Now, a good portion of the preparedness plan seems to involve kind of looking out for the families of workers, being sure that the town is there to support those who are the targets of the raid. That has to be a little bit controversial. Certainly outside of Perry, the idea would be.
No, the majority of the plan is to look out for the children. A small component of the plan is to provide lawyers, but lawyers can only assist those that have legal remedies to be in this country. So the majority of people that get arrested at these things, there's not much we can do for them. And truthfully, in most communities, looking out for the families is not a controversial issue.
Are you working together with the companies, the meatpacking plants and other processors that would be affected by this?
No, they haven't shown any interest or we haven't spoken to them.
I can imagine they might not want to talk about it a whole lot.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, when it comes to businesses, I think they're assuming or at least want to give the perception that everything's good in their company.
Aren't you worried at all that by publicly saying, we need a plan for this, it's kind of like sticking a big sign at the entrance to town that kind of says, raid me?
No, there is no concern. We were a target much before we implemented this plan. As some of the people in the school district mentioned, they have plans for tornadoes or fire evacuation plans. We feel this is just another one of those plans that we can have in our back pocket in case we need it.
Mr. Diaz, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, not a problem. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Edward Diaz lives in Perry, Iowa. I'm Jeff Horwich. This is The Week from In the Loop. In the couple of months this show has been around, we've had listeners come in a few times to give us briefings on areas of news that they follow particularly closely. We've had, environmental news? Help me out here, Sandin.
The Week in Parenting.
That's right. Higher Education was the other one that we had. And there was a big higher education bill that passed. And our own producer, Sandin Totten, who's joining me now, of course, has his own areas of the news that he follows very closely. It's a little tough to put our thumb on what it is, but we've been calling it The Week in Geek. And you embrace that label, yeah?
Oh, yeah, wholeheartedly.
Okay, we're going to give that a shot today. The Week in Geek, mostly stuff that while I've been away in Denver dealing with politics, you've been looking at things that have nothing to do with the political conventions, and that'll be refreshing for a few minutes here. All right, what's first on your list, The Week in Geek?
Okay, as many of you may know from reading our blog, I have a bit of a robot fetish.
That explains those cans of oil on your desk.
Oh, I thought I hid those. Mm. No, but I was checking out some blogs about what's been going on in the world of robotics, and I found out that earlier this week, details were released about a flight by a robot plane, the Zephyr 6. And the thing about it is that it's actually a solar-powered plane. It stayed in the air more than 3 days, running through the night on the batteries that it charged up during the day.
Well, we've been hearing about these drone planes for a while now. What's the big deal with having it be solar-powered?
Well, the thing about that is that this plane can keep going for a long time. It's like that Energizer Bunny. I mean, they say that, this 3 day stint that the plane was up there is just the beginning. They think with a couple of modifications, it could stay up there for months. So you just pop one of these in the sky and it's like, you got permanent vision over any area you're looking at.
But if we ever find ourselves having to spy on Seattle, we might need some different technology.
Right. Out of luck with that.
Okay. Next thing on the list, The Week in Geek. Keep going.
So you ever see that movie, The Birds?
Alfred Hitchcock?
Right, where the lady's being chased by all these crazy birds around a town somewhere.
No.
Well, basically, that's the whole plot.
I've heard about it.
All right, so it turns out that movie is closer to fact than we might have thought. Crows may not remember names, but they're really good with faces. Some scientists had this hunch that birds recognized people, specific people. So they started testing this by putting on masks and either just being around the birds, not doing anything mean, or harassing them, capturing them, just like being jerks, bullies to the birds, and then letting them back out in the wild and see if the birds would remember those masks. They got two masks. One was a caveman mask, and they go and they bully these birds. The other, the neutral mask, oddly enough, was Dick Cheney.
The neutral mask.
Right. I guess these scientists never went hunting with Dick Cheney. But either way, they go out in public after releasing these birds, and they had people, different people, wearing these masks. And anytime the caveman mask walked by, the birds would start squawking. And in fact, birds that didn't even know about the study, that didn't even sign up for it, had nothing to do with it at all.
Birds that didn't sign up for the study?
Right. This whole group of birds would just start, cawing and cawing at the caveman mask while the Dick Cheney guy just walked on by completely unnoticed. And they would put hats on the caveman mask. They would disguise it with a bandana, maybe, get a facial or something, and it's still the birds recognized it. So they think the reason for this is that birds, having developed really keen eyesight from having to fly above things and see what they are, also have developed a great sense of recognizing things. So the next time you're out, and you're hearing some crows and you're thinking of throwing a rock at them or shooting your rifle, you might want to think twice because they hold grudges.
And last thing on your list, what would The Week in Geek be without something to do with comic books, and this is a huge deal to you. I don't get it at all, so convince us.
Okay, this is a whopper of news. Many of you know that right now comics are the hottest commodity in the world of cinema. That's evidenced by The Dark Knight Returns, just blowing the lid off of summer movie revenues.
Iron Man, sure.
Right, and one of the best moments of The Dark Knight Returns for a true comic book fan happened about 10 minutes before the movie started, when they played the preview for the movie Watchmen.
The world will look up and shout, "Save us." I'll whisper, "No."
Okay, The Watchmen is based on a comic by Alan Moore, the same guy who wrote V is for Vendetta. And when he wrote it, he said he wanted to make something that was going to be basically the comic book equivalent of Moby Dick, something that would be that literary and that profound. And by all rights, he totally succeeded, knocked it out of the park.
What's it about?
Well, it's about an alternate 1985 where Richard Nixon's still in charge and superheroes are being persecuted and knocked off by a mysterious killer. World teetering on the brink of destruction, that kind of stuff.
So why did nobody make the movie if it's so good?
For two decades, they've been trying to make this, various directors, and it just never panned out until this year. It finally got made by the team that brought us 300. People are really excited about it. But now we get hit with a lawsuit. Warner made the movie, and Fox, they claim they own the rights to it. So this epic thing, this budget-busting film that's already in the can, ready to go, might not see the light of day.
For people like you who are deeply immersed in this culture, how devastating is this that the movie is held up?
Oh, it's painful. It's basically, imagine if the Beatles had made one last great album, and right before it hits the store shelves,
Michael Jackson buys it and says, nobody's ever going to be able to hear it.
It's gone, yeah, and you can't even get MP3s of it. I mean, that's, I imagine that's the similar sort of pain people will go through.
Wow. Well, we are, we're feeling for you in this difficult time.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. The Week in Geek from our producer, Sandin Totten. If you follow an area of the news that you might want to brief us on one of these weeks, let us know. MinnesotaPublicRadio.org/InTheLoop. Before we wrap up here, last weekend we had our latest In the Loop Story Slam out at the Minnesota State Fair. Our theme this time, taking sides. So, as we sit here in the middle of two political conventions, I'll leave you with a little bit of my tune performed for the occasion, backed up by the Smarts, of course. It's a raucous, bluegrassy kind of thing called Vote For Me.
In charge for my opponent, I have the deepest of respect. I'm sure if you turn your back, he'd wring your mother's neck. If you have to shake his hand, be careful where you stand. And when he walks away, you'll want to do a wallet check. His proposals are just as sad and nuts. He associates with hucksters, shysters, vagabonds, and sluts. Well, frankly, I'm amazed at the other side these days. If the best that they can give us is this unredeeming putz, hey, vote for me. Yep, vote for me. The choice is rather simple. He's a moron, don't you see? God help your friend if you help him to win. Knowing that you help create this pile of crap we're in. And I'm the only one with the experience to change the way that Washington is run. I got all it takes to lead. Your vote's the last remaining thing I need.
Let me just jump back in to say The Week is produced by Sandin Totten and me. Editing help this week from Jim Bickle. If you want to hear the whole Story Slam this song is from, and you should, play it or download it at MinnesotaPublicRadio.org/InTheLoop. Subscribe to us on iTunes, find us on Facebook, keep in touch. I'm Jeff Horwich, one convention down, one to go. See you next week.
Well, you know it's hard for such a humble man. Step up here and tell you just how great I am. That's what I gotta do, I'll make that sacrifice for you. Just as long as you can do a little something for me too. Hey, vote for me. Yes,
yeah,
vote for me. Yes, I'm telling you I'm awesome, but I'm down on bended knee. Takes an ego more than just a little large. Step up and say that you're the one who should be put in charge. Hey, vote for me. Yes, vote for me. Come on. Put my name up in your yard and vote for me. Knock on all your neighbors' doors and vote for me. Spend just a few hours in the phone bank if you would and vote for me. Host a fundraiser at your house to shake down all your friends.